Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first Sunday, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few of the ways you can learn about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin. You will see a whole host of announcements and a calendar about how we are church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There'll also be an elder at the communion table following worship this morning. So we have a few announcements this morning that we will get started with. Keith.
Good morning. How about those slides up there? Thanks, Carrie. That was great. Next Sunday, we are serving the dinner. It was one of the slides, so this is probably a repeat for everybody. The group of college kids from Northern Iowa University is coming to Rochester for service, and they're going to stay here Sunday night. We're going to serve them dinner Sunday evening. So on the kiosk, there's a sign-up sheet for cooking, serving, and freshly posted this morning a sign-up for food donations as well. So check it out. Thanks.
Thank you. Linda. Hi. Good morning. I'm Linda Beatty. And I want to tell you about the Church Mouse Bazaar, which is occurring in November. It might seem early to you to say this, but that's our annual arts and craft show. And last year, Tess McNeil and Kathy Wakeman and I chaired the event. And this year, Kathy is much busier in other things, including church things. And we are actually looking for a third person to help us, Tess and I, to run this. We have a lot of volunteers that help, but we really would like another person that we can bounce some ideas off of, and if we don't agree, we have a third person to referee. So it takes just a few meetings in May, and then we meet again in June to review the applications. And summer we do emails, so somebody that is proficient in computer skills. And then in October we really have our planning meetings for November 19th is the date. And we set up on Friday, and the show runs on Saturday from 9 to 3:30, I think. Anyhow, I'll be in the fellowship hall. If you want any more details or you would like to help us, let me know. I'll be serving punch and coffee.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning. This is a message from your spiritual gifts non-paid spokesperson. GPC's got talent, and we need you. Today's the kickoff for our time and talent survey. We have a table in the narthex, in case you missed it. If you missed it, it's the balloons and the bright yellow sheets. We would like all of you, adults and the youth, to complete one of these surveys. I'm going to be kind of like the person that massages all the data. And so it's really important that everybody fill one of these out. If you're currently serving, you're going to put a little C on the line. If you're currently serving or want to serve, if you want to serve, you're going to put an S on the line. If you want to know more about it, please put a K on the line. Then if you have a brilliant idea of some event or activity that you would like to have the church do, for example, the Memorial Garden that was created by some very wonderful person, you will put it on the back on the back of the sheet. We left an entire blank sheet on the back for you to write, okay, if you want to take charge of that. So I'm looking forward to collecting all of your time and talent sheets, and rock on.
Thank you, Kathy. And in case anyone has not noticed, spring is coming, and there are all sorts of signs of spring all around, including Easter tulips. I know it's coming very quickly. Today's your last Sunday to fill out those forms in your bulletin. Put them in the offering plate. We can fill the sanctuary with signs of spring on Easter Sunday. And daylight savings time, another sign of spring, next Sunday. Not our favorite, but a little bit more light for us in the evening. Also, take note in your bulletin. We are getting your ideas, your responses, your enthusiasm, and interest in potentially starting a community garden with our neighbors in the apartments next door to us. If you have any questions, talk to Jim or Sue Poole, or interest in maybe looking into this a little bit more, let them know. And part of our worship series this season of Lent, Welcome Home, also includes an opportunity to hear about all of the great mission opportunities that we partner with here at GPC. And this morning, Sally Christensen is going to share a bit about Grace House. Sally.
Well, good morning. Thinking about what to say about Grace House, and I guess the first question I thought of was, how do you define home? There's so many kinds of homes. For some men who are recently released from prison, Grace House is the first home that they will have after their prison stay. The initial program at Grace House lasts 90 days and is structured to provide a smooth transition back into the community. 70% of the cost of the Grace House program is funded by correctional services. The other 30% is funded by private donations, by churches, by philanthropic giving. People like you and me do a lot towards providing funding for Grace House. We've had Grace House as a line item in your mission budget for the last 2 years, with a regular donation the last 2 years of $500. Prior to that, we voted about the same amount of money since 2008 to go towards Grace House programming. It started in an abandoned church on Amherst Street in 2008. Since then, they've expanded to 4 facilities in the Rochester area. Little history on it, the Grace House Rochester program was modeled on the program out of Buffalo, which there's quite a bit online about the Buffalo one, a smaller amount about the Grace House program in Rochester. But anyways, they're up to 4 facilities now. These numbers I'll have to read to you because I'll forget. Since 2008, Grace House has served over 541 clients with a 75% success rate. How do you define a success rate? Well, these men have come through the program successfully. They have become productive citizens. They're drug and alcohol free and have not returned to a criminal lifestyle. The program's faith focus is borne out by the facts that 293 former residents of Grace House have connected with a strong faith community. They've handed out over 300 Bible studies have been conducted, and they've handed out over 500 Bibles. Like I said, GPC has been a part of this ministry since 2008, first with yearly money donations, and over the years we've also donated gently used men's clothing, toiletries, and new underwear items. So beyond material giving, the donations and the material goods, there's many ways to become involved with Grace House. In conversation with their administrator, Pastor Jim Crowley, he would love to see 2 particular programs put into place for the men who go through the program. One is a game night with people in a community, and the other is a summer picnic. So as a member of the mission committee, this is the first time you've heard about this. You'll see more in bulletins, but we'd like to discern if there is interest in helping with one of these or both of these activities. What do you think? I mean, if you're interested, contact me, any member of the mission and peacemaking mission ministry team. I almost said the C word, that committee word. If you'd like to see this become a reality. So you might ask, with all the needs in the community and people who need assistance for their own reasons, whatever, why concern ourselves with nurturing parolees? Matthew 25:40. Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. Thanks for your attention, and let anyone know if you're interested in more about Grace House. Thanks.
Thank you, Sally, and all of the support of this congregation for the community at Grace House. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Please stand if able and join me in the call to worship. Creator of the world, eternal God, we have come from many places for a little while. Redeemer of humanity, God with us, we have come with all our differences seeking common ground. Spirit of unity, go between God, we have come on journeys of our own to a place where journeys meet. So here, in this shelter house, let us take time together. For when paths cross and pilgrims gather, there is much to share and celebrate in your name, three in one God, pattern of community.
Thank you.
Let us gather together in a time of openness where we reveal to God and one another all of who we are and all of our brokenness. Join with me in the prayer of confession. O God, you who are always doing a new thing, we confess that we sometimes close windows against the fresh air of new ideas, against the noise of other people's worries, against the winds of change. God of every place and time, we confess that we too often grow the terms against people who are different, against world news or community concerns. Forgive us our insulation in our locked homes, our shuttered churches, the security systems of our hearts. Open up our lives and let your spirit blow through them. Amen. The good news in Christ is that when we face ourselves and God with the awareness of our need, we are given grace to grow and courage to continue the journey. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And at this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, friends. There we go. I see some bouncy energy. Did you guys not get enough sleep last night? No, you're all looking a little on the tired side. Good morning. Yeah, you got good sleep. I'm so glad. I think it's next Sunday we're going to have to worry about everyone moving a little slow to come forward with the time change. But this morning, the sun is shining. I am so glad because it is shining. Good morning. Through what do we have on our house today? A window. Isn't that great? I am so excited. We have a window on our house. So what are windows good for? What do you like about windows? What do they do? Light in your house, for sure. Will, what do you like about your windows? Good snowball targets? Yes, well, I can imagine that to be the case. What else? You can watch the birds, definitely. And I also love about windows is that you can open them, which is so good. And this week, I bet you'll get to have some open windows. And what I am loving about this window here is that it has stained glass in it. And so this is a window, and stained glass windows, we don't have very many of those around here at our church, but stained glass windows are very cool because they tell us stories about our faith. A lot of times you see stained glass windows with pictures of Jesus, right? You can see one of those out in the entryway of the church. They show different pictures of the Bible. So this window is very special because what Mr. Hadley did in creating this awesome window was show us the stories about what is important here at Gates Presbyterian Church, what we believe that God is calling each and every one of us to do and be in faith, not just here at church, but out in the world. So this one, what is this a picture of? What do you see here? You got the hands and the cross. This picture is about worship. And here at GPC, we believe that worshiping God is very important. So let's go up. What do you see up here? More hands. Look how they're reaching up and out towards the sun. This one is about the importance of spiritual growth, the ways which we share the stories of God and the stories of our lives with each other. And then how about this one? It's holding a heart. Yes. I like to think it's holding God's love. And God's love teaches us about hospitality and welcome and all the ways that we share God's love with each other. And what's this one? What are the hands holding here? The world. This one is all about mission and the ways in which we help and serve alongside one another out in the world. And this last one, I like this one. Mr. Hadley sneaked this one in. This one's pretty cool. Can anyone tell me what this one is? It's the dove. And God is at the center of all we do. So this is a pretty amazing window of our house that teaches us all about the faith that is important here in this church. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. Can we have a prayer together? Yes. Dear God, thank you for windows that help us to breathe and live and move in your being. Amen. Amen. You guys have fun at Sunday school today. Okay?
Thank you.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, verses 13 through 17. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages. Who says, I will build myself a spacious house with large upper rooms, and who cuts out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion? Are you a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and heart are only on your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood, and for practicing oppression and violence.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Joshua, the second chapter. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, Go, view the land, especially Jericho. And so the two spies went, and they entered a house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land. But the woman took these two men and hid them. Then she said, True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them. She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fjords, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven, above and on earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith, that you will spare my father and mother and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. And the men said to her, Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she resided within the wall itself. She said to them, Go toward the hill country, so that the pursuers may not come upon you. Hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. The men said to her, "We will be released from this oath that you have made, a swear to you, if we invade the land and you do not tie this crimson cord in the window through which you let us down, and you do not gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters, and all of your family. If any of you go out of the doors of your house into the street, they shall be responsible for their own death, and we shall be innocent. But if a hand is laid upon any who are with you in the house, we shall bear the responsibility for their death. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be released from this oath that you made us swear to you." She said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. She tied the crimson cord in the window, and they departed, went into the hill country and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers had searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men came down again from the hill country. They crossed over, came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before us." The word of the Lord. When suffering, life's disappointments and hardships, I'm sure you all have encountered the well-meaning phrase that people often say, and they do believe that it comes from the Bible, when they say, when God closes a door, right? God opens a window. I'm not exactly sure what biblical window they are referring to, but the phrase isn't in the Bible, and I'm going to wager a guess that they aren't talking about Rahab's open window. We know Rahab from this biblical story as the prostitute, the sex worker of Jericho. And on this particular evening, she stands at the window of her house, built into the great wall of the city of Jericho. It is her window to the world, of the many great walls separating those in power and those who have none. We can assume that Rahab has not always been a sex worker. I imagine that it wasn't too many years ago. She was a child, growing up in this house like most families. And like most families in Jericho, she was part of a family who were struggling to get by. They were just doing their best to make sure that there was food on the table. Her parents relied on these payday loans and government subsidies. And in those days, that meant a debt to the king. And there was interest rates so steep that debt collectors were always knocking on families' doors looking for the next payout. And so as a child, as a young person, I imagine Rahab standing at that window dreaming of a better life beyond those walls, a better way to help her family live. Eventually, reality would set in for Rahab, and she would see a limited number of choices of how she could really help her family get out from underneath all of the debt. And so on this particular evening, standing at the window. She watches for the evening economic opportunity to come knocking at her door. And that's when she sees these two men approach the city walls. Her window does not show why they have come, but she's heard the whisperings around town, sent by Joshua to view the land, especially Jericho. But our story says these men do not make it very far. Just inside the city wall, they happen upon Rahab and her window. But we know from this first chapter of Joshua that they have come from the plains of Moab, opposite of Jericho, where, as part of the Israelite people, they have escaped the slavery in Egypt and wandered in the wilderness for the last 40 years. And they are now, just now, mourning the loss of their great leader, Moses. And so just before arriving to the promised land, when God shows Moses the land where the people will live, that's when Moses dies. And now we have this new chapter of the Israelite people. This new chapter that starts with Rahab and her window. And all the land that this home, this wall, this window sits upon. And the Bible says that the Lord puts Joshua in charge of taking possession of the land that God promised to the Israelites. But remember, this is land that does not belong to them, land that is currently occupied by another people, land where the people who are currently living on it will have to be exterminated or physically removed. All of these details make this an extremely complicated story, really, and no less complicated when we look at it through the spectrum of generations and centuries now of human history, where this story and so many others has been used, right, by many nations to justify military conquest, domination, and oppression of people, to commit genocide, all in the name of God. It's complicated when we stand with Rahab looking through her window, trying to understand what and where is God's presence in the midst of that. So we come back to that window for just a moment. And imagine those men and that woman, and in their first meeting, there's no need for introductions to explain who she is, or why she was standing at her window, or why she has now opened the door of her home, her bed, herself to them. By morning, the king of Jericho has heard of the going-ons, noting their failure to search the land, and the king demands that these men be sent out from the house. Rahab hides these men on her roof, demanding protection for herself, for her family, before she lowers them through that window to safety. And before the doors of the gates close, a window opens. And it's this stunning turn of events, really, when we think about them. A woman here living on the margins of society, vulnerable to the powers that be in Jericho, and here she is making a deal with them for her and her family's protection as the rest of the community is destroyed. There's no one way to read this story. Just as there's no one way to understand the human and divine complexities involved in each and every situation where men and women, children, families, and communities struggle in the midst of violence and suffering and oppression. Difficult decisions are made, and depending on where we are in the context of our own stories, and those stories of our brothers and sisters in our families and in our communities here in Rochester and throughout the world, we do our best to keep looking for these open windows of hope where there are tangible signs of God's promises of life for all people. One of the readings that has particularly helped me to go deeper within to this story comes from a professor of theology and religious studies at the University of Botswana in Africa. Her name is Dr. Musa Dube, and she is leading the way in giving voice to reading the Bible from cultures and nations who continue to endure the impacts of European colonization. She lends her voice to this text by saying, "I am Rahab. And like Rahab, I am also standing at the window by a great wall that divides the powerful and less powerful. I am standing in the window and the shadow of death, where the powerful threaten to wipe out cities, and they do." And she takes a red ribbon, and in her context in Africa, she ties the ribbon to a window, inviting the world to stand in solidarity with the people of Africa who are suffering with HIV and AIDS. This morning, I'm going to take this red ribbon, and tie it to our house. And in light of our moment for mission this morning, that red ribbon, that red cord, is going to serve as a reminder, an invitation, for us to stand in solidarity with those who are seeking life on the other side of incarceration. Sally did a great job sharing with us about Grace House, one of the mission partnerships we have here at GPC, for men who are coming out of prison and in need of housing and basic services and support and re-entering the employment field. This is an amazing mission and ministry opportunity, not just for how we can provide goods and services, but as Sally was talking about, the various opportunities where we have a chance to come and sit alongside, to learn more about the lives of those who have been incarcerated and are now seeking a new life. If you have not already done so, I would suggest for you all to pick up a copy of this great book. It's been out a few years now, called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness. Alexander demonstrates that there is a new Jim Crow in town, a systemic enforcement of laws that have the effect of sustaining that permanent undercaste system, particularly composed of young black men. And this didn't happen overnight. She talks about the mass incarceration of millions of African American men fueled by the war on drugs. And that got started, many of us remember, back in the early 1980s. And since then, the incarceration rate in this country has grown by nearly 2,000%. Just think about that number, from several hundred thousand to several million. We have the highest incarceration rate per capita in the world. Nearly half of those in our nation's prisons are young black men. There are more African American men in the correction system now than were enslaved in the 1850s. And then add to those numbers the women, like Rahab. 3% of those in prison are women, but over 30% of those are sex workers. They are Rahab. And being in prison is bad enough, but then the stigma that follows can be even worse. The lifelong penalties of not being able to find housing and employment, accessing public assistance. Folks face closed door after closed door after closed door. Where are the open windows? Where are the open windows of opportunity for people to come together, to know and understand, to really feel that all, indeed all people, are children of God? I believe that's a little bit of what Rahab saw as she stood in that window and saw those men coming. I believe that's what those two men saw as that oath was being formed together, that indeed God's presence was there in unlikely people, in the unlikely meeting and these stories and these opportunities for God's life and love to be shown. That red cord is our reminder that we too have the opportunity, the invitation to share in the stories of life and struggle, of difficulty and oppression, of violence and, yes, bad choices, but that God is present in and among all of that. May it be so for each of you, and for all those seeking a new life. Amen.
Thank you.
the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel this day, for whatever reasons you have come, come to this feast. We are reminded that whatever our condition, our brokenness, what hurts we bear, our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes us home. Our Savior invites all those who trust in him to share in this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you our thanks and praise, O Holy One. And how wonderful that on this Lenten journey we may pause here for this moment and connect with you, with one another, and with the world in this holy meal. From the moment you created us in your image, you envisioned our relationship with all creation and you. We saw a different way. And through the wilderness of our disconnect, we ran after worthless things and went as far away as we could from you. Even though you brought us back time and time again, we chose to see ourselves at the center of the world. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy,
holy, holy.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who drives away our sin and death.
Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified as your Son, Jesus came to reveal your presence in the world. We remember he sat with the excluded, stood by those who were grieving, and spoke words of assurance to all who would listen. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and the cup. Simple gifts from your creation with grace, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. And welcomed without question at your table of grace, God, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ's glory, honor, praise, and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life. With the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in the days to come, amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that we might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks us to repeat this act again and again. And he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it. so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you didn't know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks of the love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ for the promises of new life and faith made new. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people. This is the body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us. Taste the goodness of God's grace.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the goodness of the fruit of God."
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of the good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Fed and nourished by the grace and love of God, we also bring to God all of our prayers, those prayers of joy and those of concern. If you have a prayer that you would like to share aloud, raise your hand so the ushers can see you, and they will bring a microphone. And if you are able to stand, please do so and share that prayer with us.
Morning, this is Chris Ullman. I'd just like some great GPC prayers for my best friend from third grade. She received a breast cancer diagnosis on Thursday. Talked to her yesterday. She's got a plan. We've got some positive energy there. She could always appreciate and use yours as well. Thank you.
Prayers for your best friend, Chris.
Tammy Andalovsky, this actually is on behalf of Melina, who's helping out in the toddler room. She's asking for prayers of healing for her friend Ellie, who badly bruised a vertebrae in her neck recently. Thank you.
Prayers for Ellie.
Christine Cook, I have two joys to share. 2 weeks ago, our van literally died on the way to church. And this past week, we found one that works for us, so we're happy about that. And also, yesterday, I happened to go to the kids' workshop at the Home Depot just up the street and mentioned to them that I work with pre-K kids and asked about what they do with the leftovers. And they gave me four different projects, boxes full of projects, aww, to bring into Main Street. They gave me paint, foam brushes, so I can go in and share with these children the satisfaction of creating something with their hands, and I'm very thankful.
Great. Thanks be to God.
Kathy Wakeman, like to say thank you to everybody that's been praying for my dad. Just a quick update. In the 2 weeks he's been home, he has transitioned from a walker to a cane, and now he's not using anything. He's just amazing. Still on oxygen, but improving. I'd also like to ask for prayers for Chris Thornton and Brenda and their family as he faces some medical issues. Thanks.
My name is Todd, and my cousin's son is in the hospital. He's on life support system, induced into a coma with an infection, and I'd like everybody to pray for him to come out of that infection.
Prayers for Todd.
Anne-Marie Sim, this is a prayer of joy. I have Brendan Shaw here, who is in fourth grade, and he's going to tell us about the project he did to earn a pin. So, Brendan, tell everybody what you did for your project.
Okay.
So, for my project, with my family, my mom helped and my dad helped, and my sister, Caitlin. We did a prayer rock, which is a rock. We decorated it. We passed it around the house. And one person would pray for somebody and then put it in a spot. And then that person would find it and then pray for somebody else. It's a Cub Scout activity.
Great job.
It's called God and Me.
Congratulations, Brendan. Great job.
Kate Stanford, we've been praying for a friend of mine. It's actually couples that are battling cancer. He is not doing well. Probably maybe a week at the most, and then he'll be ending his battle. So if everybody could pray for him and his family. His wife continues to battle her cancer, and the kids are there for both of their parents. So thank you for your prayers.
Prayers for the entire family.
Meredith Shaw, I'd just like to ask prayers for my father. He has lost all of his cartilage in his right hip, and is going to be going in for a hip replacement. I used to understand they're pretty easy surgeries, but they're going to go with the original version, not the newer kind. So he may have a little bit more recovery time, but I ask for prayers for him. Prayers. Bill Henderson, thank you.
Prayers for your dad. And prayers from our children this morning, not seeing any other hands. Prayers of joy from our first and third graders for new coloring books, for a fish bank that is almost full, for ice cream with cookies, for sorting Legos, for spaghetti dinners with a giant piece of cake. Prayers of joy for popcorn parties in classrooms, for allowance, and for dancing, and for going to the Strong Museum. Prayers of concern for a ripped dress, for a bad night's sleep, for a hurt ankle, and a sister who hurt her knee. We continue to hold all of those in prayers, and let us continue our time of prayer. O God, in whom we dwell, who dwells within and among us, hear our prayers. You call us to be ambassadors of Christ to further your ministry of peace and reconciliation. This is a tall order when we are not always truly at home with you or ourselves. And so we lift up those places where we feel so far from home in our hearts and in throughout the world, where your healing power is needed to help us live in harmony, where we hold hard feelings against one another. God, move us towards repentance and forgiveness to be able to let go of those bad choices. God, we ask in this political season that you would soften the polarization between political parties, that our nation's governing officials will fulfill their charge to govern, to work for the benefit of the common good. God, deepen the desire of people in our own neighborhoods who live on either side of the river to cross the street and build community with one another. God, we ask for your prayers to sustain the ceasefire in Syria, strengthen relations between our police officers and communities where they serve, and for those who are seeking to live a new life on the other side of incarceration. God, help us to be open, to sit alongside one another in our journeys and in our stories. Guide us all to work for justice. Make all your people one. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Indeed, we are blessed, and God has shared with us out of God's abundance, and we offer back to God a portion, entrusting God will help each and every one of us to carry out God's ministry in this world. Let us worship as we receive the morning offering.
Hi, God. It's Carrie here. Normally, you know I like to be prepared for these things, but I forgot to write my prayer today, so I'm going to wing it. Shed a little peace over here on Melissa. She might need some right now. But we are a congregation that loves to help others. Please use the gifts that we're bringing to you today to open windows for others where doors have been shut in their lives. Not necessarily shut by you, but shut by humans, their fellow friends and family, or others in the community. Please use these gifts to create those windows, those places where they can find a home and find you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Into this world, not always surrounded by wood or stone, but always confident, assured that we are surrounded by the love of God, the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get up and do it again. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.